Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you praise and glory. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, because you loved us before the world began. And we thank you for all that you did, and all that you are still doing, and all that we are yet to receive. And we thank you for Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. We give you the praise and give you the glory, Lord. Now, the entrance of your word brings life. Now let that light shine in our hearts today for the glory of God. And let the Lord be magnified in the message of the Lord. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause if you appreciate the Lord in the house. Come on, somebody, put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we have been studying the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to continue in that today, but I want to give a, I'm going to tell you the, our topic for today in just a minute. But I think we're getting to perhaps the most important part of this book of Hebrews is what we are going to be talking about today. A deep message. Remember, the last few weeks we have covered, how Christ compares. With the angels. He's far above the angels. We have covered how he's far above Moses, he's better than Moses. We've covered that he's better than everything else. And we've covered that, he's a different kind of high priest that is even different from the Levitical priesthood. And today we will be going into Hebrews chapter 8. And our topic today is the new covenant. I believe we're going to do this in two series, two parts. I don't think I can finish it today. But the new covenant is today's topic. And I'm going to really be dealing in Hebrews chapter 8. But I'm going to take a preview, if you will, from the previous chapter, which is Hebrews chapter 7. Just to bring us, up to speed where we are. So, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7, the whole chapter really, but I'm just going to start from verse 4. And I'm going to make it very quickly through it because I'm really going to chapter 8. From verse 4, Hebrews chapter 7. Now consider how great this man was. Unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Last time we talked about Melchizedek, who he really is. So we talked about that. We're not going to go into that today. But, and verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Now, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. That means, somebody who is less is usually blessed by somebody who is greater. So this man, Melchizedek, who was the priest of the Most High God and so forth like that, King of Salem, we read all about his attributes last time, he blessed Abraham. Now, verse 8. Here we know that men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Now, I want to begin to draw some comparisons here because that's where the message today is really a. There is a comparison of this new priest. Now, remember, we've also talked about the new priesthood. We've already covered that last time. For those who are not here, all our messages are on the website, gmichurch.org. But the priesthood, there's a new priesthood that has been established. The old priesthood, there was, different laws and different things and various people were kept out, and only one high priest could really go into the inner veil once a year. Well, Jesus changed all that. Amen. Amen, amen people. The veil was rent in twain when he died upon the cross. So we know we don't have, we don't have to be kept out anymore. If you are kept out now, that's by your choice. There's no more law that keeps you out. God has removed the veil. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. We can now come boldly to the throne of grace at any time. Now, so let's take a comparison of this. There are two things that we are going to be talking about here. The new covenant is our topic. But because we are talking about the new covenant, well, if there is a new covenant, then that means there's also an old covenant. Praise the Lord. So we were going to, you know, kind of bring that. And, you know, let me say, I don't have time to read all of this, but you can read the rest of the chapter. You know, you can see how it's comparing, you know, the new priesthood and the high priest of the new covenant and the new priesthood with what they used to do under the old priesthood. Now, listen to this. Verse 11 of Hebrews 7. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need should there be that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now, see, so here's an argument. If that priesthood that they had and that covenant that they had was perfect, then there would have been no need for God to do something new. How many of you are following me? That's the argument here. You know, but he said, if that priesthood was sufficient, why should he, you know, create another order of priesthood? But verse 12 says, but the priesthood being changed, notice this, folks, because the priesthood was changed. See, he did away with Aaron and the Levitical priesthood, and he brought Christ out, and the Lord swore to him in Psalm 110, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the Lord, he did that away and said, well, here is the new order. And now, well, for the priesthood being changed, verse 12, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Now, that is very critical to what we are going to be talking about today. Because the priesthood was changed, there was a necessity that the law should also be changed. Now, some people do not understand that, but let's break it down. The priesthood in the Old Testament was that agency that God established to actually bring God and man together. You know, it was a priesthood. Now, we studied that in the first few chapters of Hebrews when God told them in Exodus 17, I wanted you to be a kingdom of priests and so forth. That's what God wanted, all of them. But they wouldn't hear God. They said, we don't want to hear about God. You know, you go hear Moses and so forth. You come tell us. So they shut themselves out because they didn't want that. But that's what God wanted for them. Now, but when God saw that old covenant could not really take away their old sin nature, because every year when they came back and did sacrifice, I'm just paraphrasing some things which I hope we already know. I don't have time to go into all the details again. Every year there is a remembrance of the sin nature again when they come to make sacrifice for sin. So they did that every year. And even their priest, their high priest, could not continue forever because of death. You know, as soon as the one died, then, you know, his priesthood ended, and then somebody else would come and so forth. But this man, hallelujah, because he lives forever, has an unchanging and unchangeable priesthood. Hallelujah. Now, let us also see that if that old priesthood was done away with, and the old covenant was done away with, and God established a new priesthood, and the high priest of that new priesthood has an unchangeable priesthood because he lives forever, then that new covenant is also forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to find out what it is. And there is something very critical that I'm going to bring out to us by the grace of God today. So let's take a closer look at some of the other things that they did in the Old Testament. You know, I have to rush this along a little bit. And some of the things they did in the New Testament. I want to read to us, you know, a parallel description of old. It's kind of like a synopsis, really, of old and new. And we're going to read it from Galatians chapter 4. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to read, I'll just start at verse 20. You may want to read the whole chapter later on your own. It's a very interesting discussion. But let me talk about just a few points that go directly with this message. It's called an allegory. In verse 21 of Galatians chapter 4. And here's what the question that Paul is asking the Galatians. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Tell me, he said. You desire to be under the law and so forth. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. So you can see a comparison right here. So we're going to see where that comparison leads us into this message. He said, he that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he that was of the free woman was born by promise. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, which things are an allegory? For this, this is just something to show us something else that is coming. You know. And we see that these are the two covenants. So we're talking about two covenants. We're really going to zero in and focus on the new covenant. But these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which generated to bondage, which is Hagar. You can remember the story of Hagar. You know, she was the Egyptian lady that was Sarai's bondmaid and so forth. And she gave her to her husband and so on. You may know that story. Okay. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which answered to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. Now, this is a deep subject, but I don't have time to go into all of it. Now, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Praise the Lord. So you can see a comparison between the bond woman and the free woman. Now, the children of the bond woman are bondmen, but the children of the free woman are free in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, he said, look, verse 28. Now, we brethren are, as Isaac was, we are also the children of the promise. You know, so we're not, but remember, here's a critical thing, and we may see that next time, but not today. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted them that was born after the spirit, even so it is now, even till this day. Praise the Lord. Till this day, the sons of Ishmael, they've developed into so many things, and they are still going after Israel, but they cannot win. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Israel is superior by all means. But there is a real Israel too that is superior to all of that. Praise the Lord. Now, that's all I can say of that, but let me close that Galatians by reading verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but we are of the free. Now, you may not understand what all of that is yet, but hold on with me as we go back to the book of Hebrews. Oh, let me read verse 5, chapter 5 on verse 1. It's very critical. That text, that whole text, I believe that, this chapter 5, verse 1 should have actually been with the end of the fourth chapter. So let me read it. Stand fast, therefore, Galatians 5, 1, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Praise the Lord. Don't put the yoke of bondage upon yourself again when Christ has already made you free. Now, the old covenant was a bunch of bondage. And God found fault with them. And he did away with it. Praise the Lord. And he brought forth a new covenant that is based upon better promises. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And has a superior high priest. Praise the name of the Lord. So we're going back to Hebrews chapter 8 now. All of that was to lay a foundation for what we are talking about. So we are going to Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, he is going to summarize all the chapters leading up to that point. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken so far, this is the summary. That's what the psalm is. This is a summary of what we have spoken so far. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now, so all of this was talking about the high priest. That was what it was all about. Introducing him, showing how he's better than angels, showing that even though, well, he is better than angels, yes, he took on the nature of the seed of Abraham. He didn't really take the nature of angels. And he was tempted, you know, like we are, yet without sin. He was better than Moses. Moses was a servant, but he as a son over his own house lives forever. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, better than the Levitical priesthood, and so on and so forth. The comparison went on and on and on and on. And he said, look, this is the summary of everything that we have spoken so far. I don't know how to describe to you this high priest, he said. All I can just say is that he is such an high priest. I don't have the grammar. I don't have the vocabulary. You know, I don't know. Sometimes we use all these, things to describe him, that he's the greatest. He's this. But he is greater than the greatest. Praise the Lord. There really isn't any vocabulary to describe it, so we just use the word like he's the most high. But really, you know, I mean, there's no height to him. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, he is the minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. See, all the stuff that they did in the Old Testament was man's stuff, because they were just an allegory. They were just a shadow of things to come. But, you know, this high priest that we have, he is the minister of the true sanctuary, not in the tent and not in the building that is built with walls and windows and so forth like that. His own sanctuary is built by the Lord. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, for every high priest. Now, we're going to see the comparison of the priesthood. Now, why is this new priesthood so much better than the old? And why is the new covenant so much better than the old? Now, every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices and so forth. So, this man also, if he's going to be a priest, he must have somewhat to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he says, you know, he should not be a priest because he wasn't really from that line. You know, there are some priests that do that and so forth. They serve as the example and shadow of heavenly things, an allegory. They are doing all of these things to show us what was coming. Moses was instructed the same way. He said, you know, this is verse 5, I'm summarizing it. See that thou make all things according to the pattern that was showed thee in the mount. Now, verse 6. This is all about Christ, our high priest. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. For by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Amen. Which was established upon better promises. Now notice verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then there should be no place have been sought for a second one. And if that first covenant was enough, what was the need for a second one? Just stay in the one you have. But listen to this, verse 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant. Now remember, Judah, you know, physical Israel and physical Judah, yeah. But they are also kind of like an allegory. There's a lot more to it than that. You know, but, you know, not after the covenant that I made with the house of Israel in those days, you know, when I brought them, you know, out of the land of Egypt and all that. Because they continued not in my covenant, so I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now, let me pause here and say this. God's covenant would have been good enough. Now, remember, what he's saying that he found fault with them, because they did not continue in his covenant. Now, if they would have continued in his covenant, well, you know, maybe it would have worked for them. But that covenant could not really, you know, change the sin nature, because it was a bunch of washing and doings and don't do this and do that and so forth. Really could not, you know, the blood of goats and bulls cannot take away sin. Amen, folks. You know, as some people who are still living in the Old Testament, still sacrificing goats and bulls and so forth. That thing can never take away sin. Praise the Lord. That's right. Now, he found fault with them, and he said, this is a new thing that I'm going to do. And this scripture that he's quoting here is from Jeremiah chapter 31. And let me just go straight to Jeremiah 31 and read verses 31 to 34. And I'm coming back to Hebrews 8. But let me go to Jeremiah 31 and read what he is quoting here from Jeremiah, talking about the new covenant. And it's the first time we see that he's talking about it here. Jeremiah chapter 31, and we see from verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand. This is the one that the writer of Hebrews was quoting. I took them out of the land and which they broke my covenant. You know, even though I was a husband to them, saith the Lord, but they broke it. But this shall be the covenant which I will make with them in those days. After those days, saith the Lord, I. Now notice, the first covenant, you know, was based upon them doing certain things. Now, this second covenant, the Lord said, well, they couldn't do it. They didn't get the job done. So this time around, I will put my law in their inward parts. Can you say praise the Lord? And I will write it in their hearts. And I have chosen them to be my people, and I will be their God. Now, this is all an act of God, folks. It is an absolute act of God. This is what he chose to do. And he said, that's the way I am going to do it. And when I finish doing it, you know, nobody is going to need to teach their brother and say, you need to know the Lord, you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, he said, because every one of them, from the least to the greatest, will know me. And I will forgive their iniquity. Oh, I love that part. Hallelujah. I will forgive their iniquity, you know, and I will remember their sin no more. Remember the song we sang. It's not by works of righteousness. Now, God commands and demands that we walk in righteousness. Hallelujah. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He demands that. But nevertheless, your righteousness cannot buy anything from God. Because it's just like filthy rags. But when the righteousness of this new thing that God is doing is imputed upon you, then that is acceptable by God. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So that's what he was quoting. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, when he was at the last supper with his disciples, you know, break the bread and did these things and so forth. And then he took the cup, Matthew 26 and 28, and said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Testament, same as covenant, you know, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. So we see that Jesus also establishing and putting it point blank and saying, I'm sealing it with my blood. Hallelujah. No more the blood of goats and bulls. Now it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see that that's how he did it, and Jesus himself testifying of it here. Now, let me go back to Hebrews and tell us, and I have to paraphrase here, that when a person makes a covenant or a testament or a will or whatever, that testament is not of force while the testator is still living. Is that true, folks? But that testament comes into force after the testator dies, you know, which also showed that for this new testament to come into force, the testator, which was Christ, amen, had to die. But behold, he lives forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, and I'm going to show you an important thing that separates Christ from every high priest, every apostle, every prophet, every angel, anything you may call yourself. I'm going to show you something that puts Christ apart. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, Christ, oh my, the express image of the living God. Oh, he's wonderful. Now, let's go to Hebrews. You know, I get excited when I talk about these things and so forth, but let me see if I can contain myself here. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's go back there. And I'm going to finish that, then I will jump to chapter 10. Chapter 10, actually, chapters 8, 9, and 10, they run together, you know, and next time I'm going to put the rest of it together. But let me go back to this. Verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 8. Only 13 verses in that chapter. In that he saith, remember he said a new covenant, and so forth. We went to Jeremiah to go and see where it was first quoted. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. You know, you don't say something is new, you know, without saying that the other one is old. You know, this one is new because the other one was old. Because you are talking of a new covenant, you are therefore designating the other one as old. Now, when something is old, that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away. That means that old covenant is obsolete. Obsolete, folks. He's done away with it. It's finished. But he has replaced it with a better covenant. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, listen to this. I'm going to skip chapter 9. I'm going to come back to that later in another, maybe next week, but not today. I'm going to skip chapter 9 and go to chapter 10. And I want to hone in on some of the, as we're going through these attributes, what makes the Lord so much better? What makes this new priesthood that has this new high priest so much better than the old? Well, you know, for one thing, you know, the new high priest is of a higher order. Amen. The Melchizedek order was much higher than the Levitical priesthood. We know that. So, the next thing we know is that, you know, I'm just going to run through this quickly. I'm not going to say them in the order in which, you know, I have it. But the next thing we know is that Christ's priesthood is eternal. And the other one was not. They died every year, but his own continued forever. You know, we also know that the priesthood of Christ was confirmed by an oath. By him who swear to him, thou art my son forever, and thou art a priest forever, rather, after the order of Melchizedek. So that was confirmed by an oath in Psalms 110. So we also see, I'm going through this very quickly, we see that this new priesthood, now listen to this, this is very, very important. This new priesthood that is headed by this new high priest is designed to take everybody that is in that priesthood straight into the presence of God. Not like the old days where only one person could go into that presence. And he himself, you know, we are told that he must, when he come, first of all, sacrifice of sin and so forth, not only for the people, but also for himself. Oh, every year they did that, you know. So, now this new priesthood, we already talked about a new priesthood, last few lessons. This new priesthood has the ability and the design to take everybody into the presence of God. No more veil. The veil is gone. Praise the Lord. Now, this new priesthood, headed by this new high priest also, is, we are told that it is a more excellent ministry. That means it is better than others. And let me show you why it is a more excellent ministry and how we see that. Let's go to another chapter here in the book of Revelation. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 5. In this revelation, in this vision, John, continuing the vision that he was seeing, he said in verse 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, hallelujah, that was written within, and on the backside, this book was sealed with seven seals. Now, I tell you something, folks, God doesn't need seven seals to seal a book. If he puts one seal on it, nobody is opening it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. But he put seven seals on it. That's right. Now, and there was a strong angel that proclaimed and said, you know, he went through and said, who is able? Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now, listen to verse 3. And there was no man found in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, nor anywhere else. They were not able to open the book, not even to look upon it. They couldn't do it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. This is by how far and how so much better Christ is above everybody else. Now, and let's see one shadowy figure. You know, John, he began to weep because nobody was found. And he wept much. And one of the elders stepped up to him and said, look, don't weep. You know, I'm going to show you somebody who can step up and open that book. Praise the Lord. And he said, well, you know, here is, you know, the person. He said, this is the one that can step up and open. He said, one of the elders, verse 5, he said, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he has prevailed to open the book and to lose the seven seals thereof. And God, that's a book of redemption. He put his seals mark on. And he said, anybody that can open this, he is the rightful heir to all of it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He's the one that's going to take you straight into the kingdom and the presence of God. He's the only one that can do it, folks. Amen. And you better make sure your name is in that book. Praise the Lord. So he came, you know, and when he turned around, he was looking for that lion. But he saw a bloody lamb. Folks, that's the only way. The blood of Jesus Christ is the gateway to all the things of God. And it's the gateway to salvation. Praise the Lord. They called him the Lion of Judah, but when he appeared, he was a bloody lamb. Hallelujah. And then he stood up from all that bloody and all that mess and the blood all over and everything. And he came up and he took the book. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now remember, nobody else, not the angels, not anything, was found worthy to even come close to the book except this one man. And where he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's also called the Root of David. And he is also called our High Priest forever. Amen. That's by how much he is better than everybody else. And one thing with Christ is he not only starts something, but he finishes it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, we are told in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, none of those people were finishers. They went in, they died. And that's the end of them. And then somebody else took their place. They couldn't finish it. They couldn't get it done. You know, but this man, one time, he entered in with his own blood forever. And he took care of business. Praise ye the name of the Lord. He took care of business one time. Now, let me show you the difference. One more very critical difference between Christ and the high priest and anybody else. This is in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going back to Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to show this to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest, whether high priest or low priest, or regular priest, every priest standeth daily. Now, notice the word standeth. The priests, they are not allowed to sit down. They are constantly doing something. They must go in, offer sacrifice, come out, offer sacrifice, and so forth. But, you know, we read this last time also, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. A new kind of priesthood. The kind of sacrifice we offer now is not for sins. Our sacrifices now is to show forth the praises of him who has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because our sin, once remitted, is done with. Praise ye the name of the Lord. We are no longer living in sin, folks. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. Because the seed of God remaineth in him, folks. Hallelujah. Jesus said it himself, the whatever of this world, prince of this world, cometh and hath nothing in me. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That is who we want to be like. Amen, folks. And God is going to make it happen. Amen. For beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen. Even though it doesn't quite yet appear what we should be yet, just yet, but when he appears, we will be just like him. Because he is the blueprint and the firstborn among many brethren. And every one of us will be exactly like the Christ. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Well, that means also perfect obedience, folks. Perfect obedience. The Holy Ghost can't tell you to do something and you do your own. You already disqualified yourself. You better humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. And follow his word. Now, every high priest standeth daily, every day. They are ministering and so forth. And they are oftentimes offering the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Now, notice the comparison. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, amen, he sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting until all his enemies be made his footstool. That sin nature in you and so forth, it's going to be under your foot. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something you may have missed. These high priests, they cannot sit down. They are standing, verse 10, standing daily, ministering and offering sacrifices in and out. And they're not allowed to sit down. That's what they do. They must come in, they must come out, they must go, they must wash this, wash that pot, do this thing, do that one, sacrifice that, they are doing all of that, and so forth. They're not allowed to sit down. They are constantly doing that, you know, and so on. You know, but this man, notice that he did it one time and now he is sitting down because the job is finished, said the Lord. He is sat down at the right hand of God. It is finished. Hallelujah. He doesn't need to do it anymore. It is done forever. Amen. And anybody that sins willfully again after the knowledge of Christ, there is no more remission of, you know, there's no more sacrifice and so forth. God is merciful though, but there is a fearful looking forward of judgment. For our God is a consuming fire for us. But I tell you something, we are not driven. See, under the Old Testament, they were driven by fear. We're not driven by fear. We are constrained by the love of God. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Well, shall we continue in sin then that grace may abound? Well, if you do that, then it shows what seed you are in the first place. The seed of Christ. If the seed of God abides in him, he cannot sin. And even if they do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So we see that this man, he sat down in comparison to the others. He's now sitting down. He's not standing up anymore. His job is done. That's why he's sitting down. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The only time that you ever see him stand up after he sat down was probably, you know, to give a standing ovation to somebody that gave his life for Christ. Amen. When Stephen was dying and being stoned, he stood up. Stephen said, I see him standing. Well, he was the whole time sitting down, but I see him standing at the right hand of God because Jesus stood up and gave Stephen a standing ovation. Praise the Lord. Because that is the greatest thing, folks, that you can do, is to give your life for Christ. Well, you see, by the grace of God, you know, God didn't really necessarily call every one of us to go through that, but he still wants your life. He wants your life, folks. Give it all back to me, said the Lord. He wants your life. Not necessarily that, you know, you will be a martyr or be killed, but you will be a living sacrifice. Hallelujah! Offer your bodies, folks, as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, the summary of what we have said today is to tell you that we are in a new covenant now, folks. Praise the Lord. We are no longer justified by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But does that mean that we should not keep the law? No. The law of God is fulfilled in Christ Jesus already. If you have Christ, you're a child of God. It is a natural thing for you to do the will of God. Especially when you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, for things, let me also tell you this. And think about this. This is what they were doing in the Old Testament. They were living in their sin nature, but trying to do some good. All right? So every time they would do these sinful things, they come by and try to do some good. make penance, do whatever, sacrifice and so forth. Let me tell you something, folks. Just because somebody is doing something good doesn't mean they are not going to continue to do the evil things. Let me say that to you again. Just because somebody is doing something that appears, let me put it that way, to be good, like come to church, like do all of these things, like even preach. Amen, folks? That's right. Because on that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, haven't I done all of these things? Haven't I preached in your name? Haven't I even cast out devils, done all these mighty works and so forth? And Jesus said, I never knew you. Why? Because you are workers of iniquity. Because that sin nature was never removed, folks. You know, just because, you know, trying to do some good things and so on, you know, that doesn't mean that you will not return to your evil nature. The only way you are not going to return to that evil nature is when that evil nature is removed. And there's only one way, folks, to remove that. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, you can give the Lord a hand clap for that, folks. Give the Lord a hand clap. There's only one way that sin nature can be removed. And it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, he has finished the work. He said, it is finished. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, we are going to be going deeper into this teaching and this message by the grace of God next time. Now, this, you know, next time, it may not be so much milk. It might be a little bit of meat. Perhaps even some bones. But remember, we went through that last few times. That look, for when you need to be teachers, you still have need that somebody be teaching you the elementary things. He said, look, grow up, folks. Grow up already. So, folks, we're going to the deep things of God. Praise the Lord. Because the deep calls unto the deep. That's right. And, you know, strong meat is for those who, by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. You know, but milk is for those who are unskilled in the word of righteousness. Now, I don't want to be drinking milk all the time, folks. Do you? No. We want to eat strong meat. I don't even personally like milk. But strong meat. Amen. And all that we are saying today is that we have such a high priest that has done an excellent job. And he doesn't need your help, folks. He's already finished the work. It is finished, he said, on the cross. Hallelujah. There's only one thing he requires of you. Wilt thou know, O man, that one thing that the Lord requireth of thee, that thou should walk humbly before the Lord all the days of your life, to fear the Lord and to keep his commandments. Praise the Lord. You said, but you just said, no, I never say we don't keep his commandments. The commandments of the Lord for us in this New Testament, they are not grievous, folks. They are not grievous. They are not burdensome. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that is working in us, both to will and to perform of his good pleasure. So it's not like, oh, I have to do this, I must do that. It is natural, folks. Praise ye the name of the Lord. It is a natural thing. Now, let's stand to our feet here this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Give the Lord a hand clap as you stand. And if you understand that Christ has done something that nobody else can do, you can shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you understand that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, and that this grace of God is teaching us, has been teaching us, and is still teaching us, that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, folks. Not just ungodliness, and worldly lusts. He that will be a friend of the world will be an enemy with God. We must deny all those things. And then we must live in this present world a godly life, a sober life, a holy life. And while we are doing that, we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Woo! Now, if the Lord were to come today, will you be found wanting?
Or will he be able to say to you, come on in, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? Or will he say, friend, what are you doing here? Why are you here without the correct garment? That's like those who come to church all the time, folks. Come to church, do all of these things, you know, Monday, you know, Sunday, you're holy as an angel. Monday through Friday, live like a devil and all that, and come back again and so forth, you know, and all that. That's not going to work, folks. Today, make up your minds. Why do you straddle the fence already? You know, to choose which side you belong to. If the Lord be God, then let us serve him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we know that the Lord is God, even though we don't speak, you know, because sometimes we put these messages on the internet and so forth like that. So it's not necessarily just for the folks here, you know, but somebody might listen to this and the Lord's going to touch their hearts, because the word of God will never return void. Praise the Lord. Now, for those of you that have received the grace of God, here's what Paul said. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Let us not frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God, folks, every day is leading us to a penitent life, to a righteous life, to a holy life, and to a humble life before the Lord. Now, we will find out next week, by the grace of God, where all of this is leading us. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. I want you to lift up your hands. If you understand that message, that Christ did for us what nobody else could do and what we couldn't do ourselves, I want you to sing with me again. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. Bro, help me with that. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. We are completely. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. We are complete. We are complete in him. Complete, complete, complete in him. Oh yes, we are complete in him. We are complete in him. Complete, complete, complete in him. Oh yes, we are complete. It's not by works of righteousness. Not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. Oh, we are complete.
Hallelujah! Are you complete in him? Folks, let no man therefore judge you. Amen. We are complete in him. But judge this, that you do not put a stumbling block before your brother. If you say you have faith and so forth, well, have it to yourself. But don't put, if your mate makes somebody else to stumble, which for you it's okay, then the Bible says, then I'm not walking orderly. I'm not walking in love. Praise the Lord. So we need to walk in love. Now, generally, at the end of the service, we give people an opportunity to give an offering. If you would like to, you can feel free. We're going to sing that song again. And if you appreciate what the Lord has done, you can bring an offering. Generally, we just bring the offering and put it in any of these two baskets up here while we are singing. And if you need an envelope, you still need one, they can. If you raise your hand, they'll give you one. You can prepare your offering, prepare your heart in giving thanks to the Lord. Now, remember, we cannot buy or purchase anything from God. Jesus already finished that. Praise the Lord. You cannot give God anything that is enough for anything. He's done that already. He has finished that. What we are doing is just thanksgiving. You know, so if you love the Lord, you want to give thanks, come on down. while we sing this song. I want you to sing and appreciate and think about what the Lord has done for us. And anytime during this song, feel free and come and put your offering in the basket.